With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 970 WMAY. In the news, millions of workers across the country could have the right to work for their government without having to pay fees to a union after a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court expected today on the Illinois case, Janice V. AFSCME. During oral arguments on the case back in February, Justice Elena Kagan said, a ruling in favor of Illinois state worker Mark Janice will likely impact the contracts for government employees across the country.
So property and contract rights, the statutes of many states, and the livelihoods of millions of individuals affected all at once.
Representing Janice, William Messenger said provisions of those contracts will survive except for the forced fees. During his closing arguments, Messenger said the issues about the fees being used by unions to support increased state and local government spending.
As a whole, in the aggregate, they affect matters of public concern.
The ruling is expected to only apply to public sector employee unions, not private sector unions. And again, that ruling expected today. Meanwhile, the University of Illinois is seeking the dismissal of a lawsuit brought by three students claiming their free speech rights were violated. The students are part of a conservative political movement on campus who say that they were assaulted by protesters at a rally in opposition to President Trump. The university ordered the three students to have no contact with the protester, which they say inhibited their ability to report on his conduct for a conservative website. Two people are dead following a weekend accident in which an elderly driver apparently suffered a medical emergency before fatally striking a motorcyclist. Police say 76-year-old Cecilia Drake of Springfield struck a motorcycle being driven by 50-year-old Michael German of Springfield at the corner of 11th and Mason Saturday. Both were taken to HSHS St. John's Hospital, where they died. Drake apparently died of pre-existing medical issues, not of injuries from the crash, but autopsies on both will be conducted later today. Officials say two people aboard a plane were killed when it crashed near an airport in rural western Illinois. The Warren County Sheriff's Department says the crash happened about 11 a.m. Sunday, about a half mile from the Monmouth Municipal Airport. The department says the plane was burning when emergency crews arrived at the scene. The two people found inside the wreckage were pronounced dead at the scene. A western Illinois man's trail camera has prompted experts to conduct testing to see whether a wolf pack is living in the area. Chicago Tribune reports Jay Smith has captured footage from several years of canines on property that he owns near the village of Industry, Illinois. Smith believes the animals are wolves, although experts are skeptical. There hasn't been wolves verified in the area in decades. And Sangamon County's Board of Appeals has approved plans for a seed company operation near Interstate 72 at the western edge of the county, despite objections from neighbors. Those who live in the area say the roads around there won't be able to handle the additional traffic and they fear their property values will decline. The full county board will take up the petition from Advanced Seed Solutions in July. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning.
To play, the stars were shining bright. Now the milkman's on his way. It's too late to say goodnight.
So good morning, good morning. Sunbeams will soon smile through. Good morning to you and you and you and you.
Good morning, good morning. We've gabbed the whole night through. Good morning, good morning to you.
Nothing could be grander than to be in Louisiana in the morning. Morning.
In the morning, it's great. Good morning, good morning to
might
you.
Might be just as zippy if we was in Mississippi.
When we left the movie show, the future was
well,
bright.
Good morning, everybody.
The show goes on and I don't want to say good night.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but I'm tap dancing very well today to start the program. All right, good morning, 629-7970, or you can text 68255. That's 629-7970. Or text LYTLE, L-Y-T-L-E, space in your message. Send it over to 68255. And I start the show pretty much. This is the same. I mean, Greg, this is the same exact thing we said. Like a month. Let me. You own a restaurant. and someone comes in mm-hmm. and wants to spend money mm-hmm. in your, why can't you people get this? Mm-hmm. Unclog your heads. For God, just like the Chick-fil-A, the baker with the gays, and the red hen in Virginia. Where the hell this place was?
Should
weekend?
Be called the blue hen now.
Well, I don't listen. You get someone come through your doors, all right?
Just want to give you money for a service
yes,
and food.
Especially,
that you're,
listen, yeah. and I'm not insulting anyone, but especially a big old gal like Clara Hookby Slander.
She's not that big.
Listen, let me ask you something. You think she's eating salads?
That has no bearing on this whatsoever.
But it should, and I'm going to explain why. You are a business owner. You have one goal, to make money. I don't care who comes through your doors. You let them eat. This is so stupid. What is wrong with you people? I don't know how to put this any other way. That if you want to have a problem with her, get her email address.
Right.
Say, oh, I hope you enjoyed your meal. Can I have your email address? Because
thank you for being a patron. I'd love to be able to communicate with you further on some issues outside of this.
I'd love to pass along some thoughts.
Right. That'd be the more amenable.
But take the money. What is wrong with you? I mean, I don't know her husband, but I'm willing to bet this woman was going to order a big old steak or something. I mean, this was not going to be a cheap. This
wasn't even if she was going to buy just a sweet tea. You know, I mean.
Well, I know, but let's face it. I'm just saying, when you own something, listen, when I walk into a restaurant or Kyle, you know our digital guy Kyle? If I walk into a restaurant or Kyle walks into a restaurant, who you think's going to order more? You're going to think trust me. And I'm not insulting Sir Hookba Sanders. I've said before, I like Sir Hookba Sanders.
As you mimic her.
I like her.
Vocal stylings.
If I didn't like her, I certainly wouldn't even know her vocal.
And now time for Ray Lytle's vocal stylings of Sir Hookba Sanders.
I don't get it, Greg. I mean, I don't get, just like the gay that didn't. Do you know how much a wedding cake cost?
God, they're hundreds of dollars, right?
Are you out of your freaking mind?
Yeah.
Take the money. And if someone comes to your restaurant, take the money. I guess I'm like for people who listen to this radio station, I am sure some horrible people listen to this show, Greg. Horrible people. I don't want to know what you're up to. I just want you to listen. I don't care. You're all invited to listen. Horrible people. We might have murderers listening right now, Greg. You understand that? There might be a murderer standing by the radio going, I love that Greg Bishop. Do you care if he listens?
Yeah, well.
Do you care?
Kinda.
I'm
concerned a little.
Everyone to listen.
I mean, the only reason I would be concerned if a murderer was listening was if they were plotting to murder me.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly. Because we can't control that. Just you own a business. Let the people give you your money.
Right.
Good morning. You're on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Okay. First of all, let me preface this by saying I agree with you.
Thank you.
On the other hand, when I was in my teens, I worked at a restaurant. It was a fast food franchise, and there was this jerk that used to come in all the time. Okay? Now, I won't tell you what we did to the food.
Oh, for God's. I don't want it to go this way.
Yeah, we don't need that. No.
Okay,
don't,
but
don't
if somebody
that's
if somebody doesn't want.
I'm pretty sure you're admitting a crime.
Right. Yeah, that's like a form of assault or something.
Yeah, I think that's against the law.
Unbelievable.
Good morning.
And that people would even condone that type of behavior.
You're on WAY. Good morning.
Well, I don't know if I can get it all out, but I have two small points to make. One of them. The hypocrisy of the left has finally decloaked, and the other is, this is apples and oranges.
What's apples and oranges?
This is no, my. I'm telling you,
are you talking the gay baker and what happened to Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
We started with Greg and my dissertation, which we made of all these cases, which is basically the same. Which is, if you're a business owner, shut up and take the money.
Yeah, I agree that you should, you know, do business with as many people as you can.
Yes.
In the gay cake situation, they didn't refuse the person's service. They just didn't want to draw the grotesque scenes. If they just walked in there and ordered a cake and it was,
I'm sorry, they didn't want to what?
I don't know if you could say they're grotesque.
The grotesque. The
well, they weren't. What were they? Grotesque. What? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
A man loving a man is their business.
Well, I mean, they didn't want him to draw pictures of them having sex on the cake,
right,
or anything.
I don't think that's what the cake design was about.
I don't think they wanted. They didn't want to put like, congratulations, Stan and George, right, or Ray and Greg, or whatever the hell their names were.
But he is, I mean, he is correct, and they didn't refuse all service. Like, they didn't say, get out of my restaurant, you gays.
Yeah, hey. Hey, listen up, all you gays.
Yeah, they said,
you might be listening to this show, but let me tell you right now, if you're a gay, I don't want none of you gays listening to my program. That's how ridiculous it is, Greg.
Yeah, the baker did offer up other goods.
Yeah, but still, that's
with the Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
That would be
Sanders
the same as if the restaurant said, hey, what the hell did you just order?
Did you order one of my fillets?
I ain't gonna
give you a fillet. I'll give you a slice of ham.
I just ordered a big old porterhouse and
porterhouses for Trump supporters.
And a lobster and a lobster tail.
No, lobster tail.
We ain't serving your kind porterhouses and lobster tails. That's what they did.
We're only serving your kind. Some mini corn dogs,
yeah. Yes.
And some cottage cheese.
Well, if you are a business owner, you shut up
and take the money.
Greg, I want to make shirts that say "Shut up and take the money."
Yeah, and go to like business conferences and stuff. You know, like the NFIB convention.
I mean, there might
avoid lawsuits. Shut up and take the money.
I'm trying to think of any argument to. Well, support the business owner, and I really,
it is.
I can't. Here's what the business owner has laid out for themselves, and correct me if I'm wrong. Anyone who is very pro-Trump, they're never going to go to this place again. And you get people that are really, really, really anti-Trump that might really, really hate the man. Mm-hmm. They're going to go to your place now. But eventually that's going to die off, and it's going to affect this place. You, as a business owner, shut up and take the money. Good morning. You're on WMAY.
Ray, not only are you right, the business owner violated the Constitution. That's interfering in interstate commerce.
Well, I mean, I don't know how that works. I know that they could say if no shirt, no shoes, no service.
Right.
I know
that's public health.
But that doesn't, that doesn't deal with somebody's race, ethnicity, political views.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, for God's sake, I hope she was wearing shirt, shoes, and
I'm sure she
you know
was
what
wearing
I mean?
Shirt, shoes.
So but, I don't know why they would not want her money.
The Constitution gives Congress absolute power over interstate commerce. And Congress has said, if you cannot discriminate against protected classes, whatever those are defined as.
Yeah.
And if you say, I don't sell to people who are from out of state, you're engaging in interstate commerce.
You can't, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to say, I don't like your job.
Right.
I don't like your job. Get the hell out
of here.
It's
like you hear the stories of people kicking cops out, you know, because
hands
up, don't shoot type stuff.
Yeah, you can't. Well, you just can't.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You can't kick a cop out just because of the job they have.
I'm making T-shirts. Shut up and take
their
money.
And about political conventions, Ray.
Well, not political conventions. You need to hand that out at like the NFIB conventions, the small business conventions.
I'll just hand it out anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the deal. Business owners should know this, that they need to separate and silo off their business from their politics.
Yes.
All right. And you do that by funding speech that you like outside of your business.
Thank you. Or make, here you go. Make a political donation.
Right.
If you don't like Donald Trump.
Right.
What you do is you find who's running against the man and you give them your money
or
support.
Or in-kind contribution to hand out free food at a political affiliated party or something like that.
We're usually closed on Sunday, but we're going to open it up between 4 and 6 for a Kamala Harris,
whatever,
whoever's, I don't know who's running, for a Tom Steyer, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You don't kick the people out. That's just ridiculous. Because you don't like their job. That's stupid. Thank you. It's just ridiculous. Shut up and take the money. I swear to God, Greg, we're teaching people.
Yeah.
We're like teachers. And then of course people treat this woman like she's a hero. Guy, this is what's wrong with this guy. I mean, people are crazy in this country. We treat the people like they're a hero or they're a pariah. It's like, oh my God, they're neither. They're just stupid.
Just take the money.
Yeah, shut up.
Just
take the money. And by the way, when people support you because of what you've done, and Chick-fil-A has gone through this. It's very short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's very short-lived. If you think everybody liberal is going to come there every single... No. No, it's... They'll come for like a month.
Then, man, these eggs taste like hate.
Then they're going to forget. And all they're going to remember is what you did that was in the news. They're going to remember that, you know what? This place was difficult, blah, blah, blah.
Can I have a baked potato with a side of hate?
I'm serious. You just
can I have a cake with some hate frosting, please?
Yes, it's so. The only thing I can think, if someone comes into your place dressed a certain way,
mm-hmm.
maybe you know, like, listen, your dong's hanging out. I really don't want you. You know what I mean?
Well, and there was also a case of some coffee.
That's the same of shirt, no shirt, no shoot.
Yeah, there was some coffee shop. I can't remember where, maybe in Seattle, but some pro-life protesters came in with shirts with, like, you know, images of aborted fetuses.
Oh, yeah, well, you can't. What do you do there?
You know, the shop owner kicked them out. I don't know if there's any case from that, but the shop owner was like, that's a disgusting display. Get
out
of here.
But I think that's the same as the no shirt, no shirt, no shoot. Like,
that's public health.
Yeah, but you don't want...
What's printed on a shirt?
You want people that are going to offend other customers.
Being offended is a subjective thing.
Yeah,
and each individual has their own level of offense.
Listen, I'm a business owner in Virginia. You might 100% agree with Sarah Huckabee Sanders for no other reason. She's famous. Let her... come to your restaurant, take a picture with her.
Put a picture on the
wall. Put it on the freaking wall. It doesn't matter if you agree with her job or not.
Yeah.
Take advantage of it. In fact, then get the picture with the person that feels the exact opposite and put that next to her.
Yeah.
Let everyone know my business is open for everybody. I see business owners on like Facebook every day spouting their political opinions.
Sure. Yeah.
I've never decided to get my car fixed or to go get a meal from anybody based on politics. In fact, that would make me just, if I see any of that, it would make me just not want to go there. I never get that. But yet every day I see people doing it. Every single day. And I read about this place in Virginia, I'm just shocked. Shut up and take the money. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, Tim?
Hey, nice day out here.
It is nice.
Yeah, it's very mild.
So, you really think that it's... I wouldn't throw them out of my business, but I still say you've got the right to serve whoever you want.
You got the right to. I'm just saying, I'm with you.
It's a dumb idea. It's
right.
Dumb.
It's a stupid business policy.
Why would you not... And by the way, I was, of course, wanting to get under Greg's skin, making a Sarah Huckabee Sanders joke. No, but in all seriousness,
yeah.
I mean, her husband's a big guy too. By the way,
I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he's you know, he's not in the public eye, but you can Google and see. You know, I like Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I've said that before.
It was hard for you to say her name without.
Oh no, I was gonna do the impersonation. I figured out. No, but I'm not making a fat joke.
Sure,
I mean,
sure,
she
sure.
doesn't look like she eats salads. She looks like
she's a healthy woman.
Yes, she looks like she can wolf down a big steak or so. If you are a restaurant, don't you want the money for steak instead of? I mean, why would you kick them out? It's stupid.
It's dumb business practice.
Yes.
And that, you know, listen, I've said in the past, even the cake baker deal. You know, he can conduct business however he wants,
yes.
but that's a dumb way to conduct business. Denying services to people who are willing to give you company or give you cash, that's just a stupid policy. You should be open to business for anybody to walk through that door.
I think it's just the dumbest thing you can do as a business owner. I cannot feel any stronger the way I do. And like I said earlier, I don't care who listens to this show. All I care about is that you do listen, and I hope you enjoy it. I really do.
Sadly, though, what the incident over the weekend highlights is how deep our political divide has become in this country.
And that's troubling.
That's
it
very troubling.
Really is troubling. Anyway.
Because you stack on top of that what's been going on with Kristen Nielsen from the Department of Homeland Security. People literally going to her house, protesting outside. You know, no justice, no sleep.
Oh, they chased her and Stephen Miller out of that restaurant last week. I mean, it's crazy.
It's pretty incredible.
6297. There are more important things to worry about, like the president attacking Jimmy Fallon. 629.
What did Jimmy Fallon? I know Jimmy Fallon sucks, but what did Jimmy Fallon do?
I don't know. Like out of nowhere, he tweeted against Jimmy Fallon.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk, 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, more of the estimated 1,800 undocumented immigrant children still in custody with the federal government might soon be back with their parents. ABC's Jim Ryan says the Department of Homeland Security has issued a policy statement on family reunification.
A fact sheet posted in all of the facilities where undocumented adults are being detained lays out details of how parents can locate and be reunited with their kids. Former San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro is skeptical.
We cannot leave it to chance. We need to verify that these children are being reunited with their parents.
The same fact sheet promises that a tracking system is in place linking family members who are in the detention and deportation process. Jim Ryan, ABC News, along the U.S.-Mexico border.
Meanwhile, North Korea has opted not to hold this year's anti-U.S. imperialism rally, marking the start of the Korean War and another sign of cooperation following the summit between leader Kim Jong-un and U.S. President Donald Trump. Last year's event was held on the Capitol's Kim Il-sung Square with a reported 100,000 people attending, but no rally was planned Monday for the first time in years. A lot more cases to be determined by the U.S. Supreme Court, including a landmark case from Illinois. That's Janice v. AFSCME, deals with agency fees that government workers are required to pay unions as a condition of employment in a couple of dozen states across the country. Meanwhile, businesses and local municipalities celebrating last week's Supreme Court ruling, saying out-of-state internet sales are fair game to local taxing bodies. But experts say those businesses may not want to get too excited about the ruling, as it means that they're now at the mercy of more bureaucracy. The Supreme Court ruled last week that internet retailers with no physical location or employees in a state still have to pay local sales taxes when they sell something in that state. Local governments celebrated the ruling as they expect revenue to flow in from internet purchases. Rob Carr with the Illinois Retail Merchants Association says local sales taxes not applying to web sales put local shops at an advantage.
Leveling that playing field is important when it comes to giving consumers or giving retailers a level playing field.
But Jessica Malugin with the Competitive Enterprise Institute says small businesses across the country will now be at the mercy of more than 10,000 unique taxing districts that would be nearly impossible to keep track of.
That's how the small sellers are going to get cut out of taking advantage of internet commerce, and it's a real shame.
Meanwhile, as temperatures increase later this week, officials are warning parents about the dangers of leaving children alone in vehicles. Scott Bertram has more.
42 children died in hot cars across the U.S. last year, and Amy Artuso with the National Safety Council says more can be done to help prevent tragedy.
Illinois does not have a Good Samaritan law that specifically references children being left unattended in vehicles, but their unattended child law, I would say, is one of the better among the states that do have them.
Current state law makes it illegal for parents to leave a child 6 years or under unattended in a car for more than 10 minutes. But Artuso says many of these incidents happen inadvertently.
A lot of times when parents and caregivers find themselves in this situation, they say they never thought it would happen to them. A lot of times they're outside of their regular routines and they were just on autopilot.
The last hot car death in Illinois occurred in 2014 when a five-year-old was able to access an unlocked vehicle and became trapped inside. I'm Scott Bertram.
Springfield aldermen would be able to kick fellow aldermen out of meetings if a plan from Alderman Doris Turner goes through. The plan addresses a community meeting 2 weeks ago, which aldermen admit that the meeting went off the rails after aldermen made the discussion personal. And an Illinois man's been banned from riding a motorcycle for the next year after trying to elude police in a chase that exceeded 140 miles per hour. A YouTube video of the incident led police to the biker, 24-year-old Brian Biacano of St. Charles. In addition to the ban on riding a motorcycle, he was also ordered to serve 100 hours of community service. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
All right, did I say Friday instead of I'm being told, Ray, you just said it was Friday instead of Monday. I'm sorry if I did that.
I didn't pick up on it either, so I'm just as guilty.
Please forgive me. If I said that, I'm sorry. I'm a bit slap happy today. 629-7970, the phone number. All right, it is the Ray Lytle Morning Show. Good morning, you're on the air.
Hey, top of the morning, Ray.
Top of the morning to you.
Good Friday to you.
Hey, I'd like to say that, you know, there's a lot of people that have those type of beliefs here in town. But I like to say simple about that the customer is always wrong.
You say the customer is always wrong.
Are you in business?
There's a lot of businesses in town that have that motto.
Oh, okay. You're saying a lot of businesses have that philosophy. They act like the customer is always wrong.
Yeah, and we can't turn the air conditioner on.
Right.
Or we got too much money. We really don't need your business. We're really just money laundering.
Listen, dude, I can give you instances. I'm not going to name people, but there were times in my
past. Please name people, right?
All right, I'll give you one story. I'll give you one story, okay? Heyday of the morning disaster. So around 2001, 2000, somewhere in there, you know. There was a business in town that decided to buy advertising. And one of our salespeople talked to them and said, yeah, well, if you make an offer, you know, you can bring in even more people or whatever. And they were like, well, okay, we'll make an offer of, let's do, and I'll actually, it was some type of burger. All right, they want to make some type of, if you go in and offer this, they're gonna sell it for only so much. Okay, that was the deal that. They had made with our salespeople. And our salesperson even said, yeah, you know, you actually might want to, if people go in with that code and get that, you might want to make sure you have more than enough product. And they're like, yeah, just, you know, whatever. So the business owner was told more than once, okay, if they announce this on that show, you're going to get a lot of people coming by. So you got to make sure you've got enough product. And they were told like 2-3 times, right? And so we go live, and we were on in the morning, and it was during the whole Frequent Rocker. I don't know if you listened to that station, but we had this program called Frequent Rocker that was really popular, and it was a whole thing. So we go on, and we say, oh, listen, today you'll get your Frequent Rocker clue, and you'll get your burger. You'll get a whatever burger for only 92 cents or whatever it was. And if you blah, blah, blah. And so we do the live commercial. And we tell people about this. And, of course, just a boatload of people showed up, okay? And the business owner got angry and called the salesperson and says, drop it now. And the person, and she was like, we can't just drop it. It's I warned you this was going to happen. The guy got so angry. He wanted to cancel all his advertising. He started turning people away that showed up. And then he was telling that, then he put up a big sign that says, I am not honoring this, blah, blah. It was a total disaster. And the guy was warned. It's like, you've got to be prepared. And he was making some type of fresh burgers or whatever. And he didn't have enough ground beef is what it is.
Well, hey, Ray, that's kind of ironic. You know, I advertised on the morning disaster, and it was a disaster.
Yes, actually, yes. The guy had, and here's the thing. Here's the best part. The guy's business, he went out of business, like, the business closed, like, maybe 6 months later. I mean, it was just an abomination. And that's the one thing that I've remembered since then. It's like, sometimes the offer is too good, and you better be prepared for it. And I've seen it, and I've seen it several times. I just used that one instance, and it is bad. You will get, if you're not prepared, it's tough to under-prepare. You know what I mean? That's the worst decision you could make.
Well, see, Ray, I live my life forward thinking. Think next week, this week.
Yeah, yeah.
And so think, you're never surprised.
And think in terms of best case scenario, right? But don't be surprised if the worst case scenario happens. Be prepared.
Back then you had Jim the photographer, he's calling off 99 cent burgers.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you have to, listen, you've got to prepare for the worst and prepare for the best.
Yeah.
And if you can't handle either of those scenarios, don't do it.
That's, I hear you there, Ray. Yeah.
All right, buddy.
I'm waiting for him to come out with the smart burger joint.
Yeah. Wait, give me the details. What's the smart burger?
No, I'm just saying it's just an idea.
Oh.
You know, you can create a burger that'll taste with whatever you're thinking. It's a smart burger.
Yeah, I just...
you want it to taste like anchovies, it tastes like anchovies.
And as a business owner, if I ask people, if they go, hey, Ray Lytle owns that whatever business. Ray Lytle owns a blah, blah, blah business.
A vape shop.
What's Ray's political views? People should go, I have no idea. I have no idea.
But at the same time,
just
I
whoever
think
you are, business owner,
businesses X. Should be able to express themselves politically.
But keep it. I'm just saying, for your customers.
Yeah.
You got to keep.
If you got to keep it to yourself. If you're wanting to excel in business, you just take the money.
Yes.
You don't get involved in the
like
politics.
Like my T-shirt that I'm making says, "Shut up, and take the money."
Yep.
If I say,
but at the same time, businesses looking to advertise don't necessarily like advertising with, voices that they don't want to be associated with. And you see that with, like, for instance, David Hogg going out and saying, hey, protest Laura Ingraham's show, boycott these businesses. And then there's this big political scuttlebutt. And then those businesses, what do? Some of them actually pulled back away from Laura Ingraham's show. So businesses, they do have that right. And it shows again that money is speech. They're using their money in various capacities. So, I mean, it happens
all
around.
Yeah, but it's not. But the business owner isn't the one using it.
Well, no, they are. They are, but deciding who they advertise.
Because
with.
we don't know who's deciding what. We don't know what businesses decided to not do something. So that's what I'm saying. As a business owner, you just keep it quiet. We don't want to. You don't have to. If you're a business owner, why would you retweet Roseanne? Why would you? It's just so many stupid things that people do that I'm just. You're a business owner.
But Ray, a good idea is if you wanted to be singled out, your business would create the money that would be spent at the business.
What is it? Your business.
Like you got Ray's. What do you say, Ray's bait shop? You would actually put money out and spread it around, and you can only spend it at Ray's bait shop.
So you're saying create your own currency?
Essentially, yeah. That's what,
well, this is now,
that's not a good idea.
It would single it out because you couldn't spend it on nothing but that business.
No, but yeah, but how are you going to...
I saw an episode of they're trying that in the business.
I know. I need another couple of
times. Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Between that and your use of the word ideal, I think you've lost me, my friend.
Here's the one I'm going to go out on.
All right.
I used up all my sick days, so I'm calling it dead.
Nice.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. Good morning. You're on News Talk. All right. I tried. I don't get it. I really don't. I don't understand it. All right, 629-7970. When we return, do you want to talk about Roseanne coming back without Roseanne or deep fried Oreos?
Oh, man, the whole Roseanne thing is it's fascinating.
Roseanne it is, then. Yeah. I see where you're going. It's the Ray Lytle Morning Show. News Talk 91.7 to 970 WMY. Whew. By the way, if you have Twitter... Look at the president's tweet this morning.
Oh.
Just look at the president's tweet.
Yeah.
That man.
He's
the president of the United States.
He is a professional troll.
Yes.
He is trolling right now.
There is not much difference between the president and a fat rich kid laying in his bedroom just trolling people on the internet.
Here's his tweet from 15 minutes ago. The Red Hen restaurant should focus more on cleaning its filthy canopies, doors, and windows. Badly needs a paint job. Rather than refusing to serve a fine person like Sarah Huckabee Sanders, I always had a rule. If a restaurant is dirty on the outside, it is dirty on the inside. And over the weekend, the official like Red Hen restaurant, you know, company, the national company, they tweeted out saying, "This Red Hen restaurant's not affiliated with us."
Yes. Those poor people.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
If it's dirty on the outside, it's dirty on the inside.
The president of the United States just declared war on a restaurant in a town that fits about 20 people inside. Oh, God. Dude. All right, Roseanne.
Yes.
ABC announced, it's one of my favorite shows, ABC announced they're bringing it back.
Sans
without Roseanne. So let me ask you, are they killing her off?
They are killing her off. I saw headlines that said they're going to kill her off.
Oh, that's what they're doing.
What? How else are they going to pull it
off? Well, I was thinking about that. Okay.
What, is she going to go to prison? You can't
rehab.
Do that because then
no.
She's still going to want to...
Remember...
At the tail end.
Her drug problem.
Yeah, she was addicted to opioids.
Yeah, so I'm thinking ways you can write her off. And you can write her off for a year and bring her back after she cleans up her act, if you want. You could put her in rehab.
Yeah.
You could put her in jail. Maybe she was arrested for...
But see, those...
For
you
trying
still,
to steal opioids.
Those, I think, is difficult for writers to fully, you know, implement because people would still want to see Roseanne in the prison. They would still want to see her at rehab.
Yeah,
they want to have
know.
Family visitations, right?
The only, and then the other thing is kill her off.
I think they're going to go with...
Died in her sleep.
Man, or died of an overdose, and then it highlights the...
Died of an overdose, yeah.
It highlights the problems with opioids in rural blue-collar America, and they can, you know, play off that for a bit. And so it's going to be called The Connors now.
Which is their last name, so right. That... And then it'll be about Dan Connor, John Goodman, and his kids coming back to live with him and blah, blah, blah. I mean...
Man.
Which would still be interesting. I would miss Roseanne.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, listen, they killed Dan off once and they brought him back.
I mean,
so.
I'm angry at Roseanne for doing this to me because I enjoy, I enjoyed the show. And
it was
like,
a great show.
Why could you, why, to be so stupid? It's the same as the restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe how stupid this restaurant is. Now, look, the president's tweeting about, I just can't believe how stupid Roseanne was. You know, it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. But yeah, they're bringing it back. And you know what? I think it's and they're moving it to Thursday.
Mm. So, will I watch it?
I know I will. I may watch
a couple. We'll see what happens, and if it's still good.
Yeah, I'll stick. And if it sucks, right. I'll leave. Right. Yeah, what do you do?
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk, 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, opponents of an Illinois state employee at the center of the U.S. Supreme Court case Janice V. AFSCME over the issue of forced union agency fees say the fees keep unions from striking. The U.S. Supreme Court could rule today in favor of Illinois state employee Mark Janice against the AFSCME union over agency fees he and other workers are forced to pay the union as a condition of employment. Representing AFSCME, David Frederick, said before oral arguments in February in front of the Supreme Court that the agency fees were a trade-off to stave off any kind of labor unrest.
That is true in many collective bargaining agreements. The fees are the trade-off. Union security is the trade-off for no strikes.
Representing Janice, William Messenger responded.
The idea that the government needs to force its employees to subsidize unions or otherwise the unions will disrupt the government. And I submit that's not an interest that this court can accept as a compelling one for infringing on individuals' First Amendment rights.
The ruling is expected to only apply to public sector employee unions, not private sector unions. Meanwhile, inmates at Stateville Penitentiary are calling for the prison to debate teams to be reinstated. The Department of Corrections ended that debate team program after, it says, the person who had served as debate coach violated department rules in inviting lawmakers and others to the debate events. NPR Illinois reports that some lawmakers also want to see the program restored, arguing that it gives inmates marketable skills for when they do get out of prison. Local elections officials hoping to use federal cybersecurity funding to upgrade Illinois' decades-old voting machines will have to keep waiting. The State Board of Elections announced the majority of the $13.9 million coming into the state from the feds will be funneled to the training and bolstering cyber defenses. After Russian hackers breached 76,000 active voter registration records in 2016, Illinois became the cybersecurity poster child, representing the need to secure the country's vulnerable election systems. One national organization says more can be done to help prevent children from dying in hot cars. And as we look at that forecast, we'll see highs in the mid-90s coming up later this week. Scott Bertram has more.
Amy Artuso with the National Safety Council says there's one major step Illinois lawmakers can take.
Eliminating any reference to a safe time period. Right now, Illinois allows for a child to be unattended for 10 minutes, and depending on the outside temperatures, 10 minutes can be deadly.
Artuso also would like to see a Good Samaritan law in place, offering protection to people who might try to rescue kids in cars. She says these tragedies aren't just limited to extremely hot days or careless parents.
This can happen anywhere to anyone. American Academy of Pediatrics has said it could be mid-50s outside and heat stroke can still occur with children.
42 children died in hot cars across the U.S. last year. I'm Scott Bertram.
The YMCA has a serious offer to consider for building a new downtown Y. Memorial Medical Center has pledged $9 million and the land for the new site on the corner of 4th and Carpenter. However, the YMCA is unsure if it can raise the rest of the $25 million needed for construction to begin. And it was another successful Paint the Street event in downtown Springfield over the weekend, as several hundred artists of all levels showed that they're talented. You can see more of the amazing paintings on Washington between 4th and 5th and 6th and 7th. From now until it rains, really. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Good morning. It's the Ray Lytle Morning Show on News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Phone number, 629-7970. That's 629-7970. And you could also text us, the Morning Disaster Message Mafia. You can text 68255. That's Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E, space, and your message. Send it over to 68255, okay? That's how you do it, Greg. All right, you want to play cheap or frugal?
Sure.
We're going to play Cheap or Frugal, everyone, which is our new game show. I'm going to give you a scenario, and you tell me whether it's cheap, whether you're being cheap or whether you're being frugal.
Well, I might have something else to tie into this later on, too.
Uh-oh.
We'll kind of put that in our pocket for now, though.
629-7970, cheap.
Cheap or frugal.
Or frugal, all right? Very simple little game. I'll get a little music for it here. Let's get some music for America's favorite game show. I'll bring this up. All right.
Nice.
It's time to play Cheap or Frugal.
All right. Ray, our next contestant is caller number one. Caller number one is from the Springfield listening audience, and he's listening on News Talk 94.7 to 970 WMAY.
And hello, what is your name, caller?
My name is Nemon.
Is what?
Nemon.
Nemon. Are you ready to play Cheap or Frugal?
I am ready, Ray.
All right, I'm going to give you an item. You tell me. Or I'm going to give you a scenario. You tell me if it is cheap or frugal.
Sure.
Not leaving a tip. Is that being cheap or is that being frugal?
That is being frugal, Ray.
What? What?
Oh. Greg, not leaving a tip, is that...
No, that's... I'm going to have to say
you're going to say that's cheap?
That's cheap.
Well, let's see who is right. I'm going to say it is... cheap. I'm sorry, Nemon. You are absolutely incorrect.
Aha, yeah. You win nothing.
You win nothing.
Because you added nothing.
You get nothing. You get nothing.
Nada.
Your answer is stupid.
Jeez.
All right. Let's go to test number two. Good morning. Would you like to play cheap or frugal?
Come in, I'm ready to play.
All right, cheap or frugal, here we go.
I don't want the horns. I don't want the horns after whatever happens.
You get the answer right, or you're going to get sad trombone.
I don't want the horns.
All right.
Okay, buying generic groceries or electronics?
That's just totally frugal.
I'd agree with Tom. That's frugality. Look at that.
Very good,
yay,
Tom.
Yay.
All right, so I'm gonna give you another one.
Yay.
Carefully tracking how much electricity you use in your house.
That's frugal.
Total frugality.
Yay.
Reusing tea bags and coffee filters.
That's being cheap.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's cheap.
He's on a roll, Greg. He's on a roll. Tom, you're on a roll. Keep it going. Calculating your portion of a group dinner bill while at lunch or while at dinner with friends.
That's being frugal. Everybody does that.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's frugality.
If you have a salad and the other guy has a steak, I'm not paying for his steak.
Oh, wait, no. I'm
sorry.
Well,
I'm not saying that.
I thought you meant like splitting it evenly. Is that what?
No, this is calculating
how much each individual person
owes.
Yes. Okay.
That's being cheap.
Down to the last cent.
No, that's being cheap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's cheap. That's cheap.
All right, we're on a roll.
But Tom, do you do that? I mean, you just said you're not going to pay for somebody's steak when you had a salad.
I don't eat out. I barbecue at home.
Where you're paying and inviting everybody, right?
Using deals or coupons for everything you buy, Tom.
Yeah, my wife says that's frugal. I can't go out of the store without a handful of coupons.
You're on a roll.
He's money smart.
Always tipping 15% regardless of how good the service was.
Nah.
I don't eat out.
Nah.
Yeah. What do you say, Tom?
That's being frugal. 15% is what you tip.
Well, I would say bad service is
very cheap.
The floor for bad service is 10% for me.
Yeah. But just regular service.
Regular service.
Or exceptional service.
Exceptional is 20 plus.
Is different. Yeah, it's different.
If you're wowed by somebody, you give them 20 plus percent.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you help them out.
Listen, oh, that's just being cheap.
Yeah. There was a time. I mean, there was a time when I was making some money. I tipped everything. Yeah. I tipped if they gave me a good seat. I tipped the hostess.
Right.
I want to quit because I don't want to get the horns.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Always a pleasure.
Got it anyway.
All right, let's see who's the next contestant. Good morning. You're on the Ray Lotto Morning Show.
Can I play?
Oh, hey, Tim. How you doing? Yeah, you got last two are going to be yours.
All right.
Tim, re-gifting. Is re-gifting cheap or is re-gifting frugal? Well,
that's cheap. That's cheap.
Greg?
Depends on the gift.
Cheap.
Yeah, I'm just going to say it's probably cheap.
Yeah. I'd take it back. Money back.
All right, last but not least. Only drinking at home, never at a bar or restaurant.
That would be frugal.
I'd say that's cheap.
No, it's frugal.
No. I'd say that's cheap.
That's frugal. That is frugal, my friend. Well, yes.
Okay, restaurant drinks are expensive. There's no
doubt. Yeah. Hey, you did good, Tim.
I don't drink anymore. I quit drinking like 30-some-odd years ago.
You saved a ton of money, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is...
Oh, I bet he was a big drunk. I bet he was a big drunk, weren't you, Tim? Big sloppy drunk.
Like the sodas or the tea is more expensive than dang drinks sometimes.
Yeah. No, that's not true. That's not true.
Yeah, some place you go to, they'll hire.
Hey, listen, a double Jack and Coke is $10, and I guarantee it's not because of the Coke.
Well, but I don't know. I used to get double Jack and Coke without the Coke.
Right, yeah.
I bet Tim.
And it'd still be $10.
I bet Tim was a sloppy drunk.
Oh, yeah, I was.
That's funny.
I admit an alcoholic. I am an alcoholic.
Oh, you already know that. I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, no. Oh, well, wow. Dude, I haven't had a drink in like 35, 36 years.
Good for you. Keep
it up.
Yeah. I mean, now that I quit smoking, this, the only bad habit I have now is I'm just overweight. That's it.
So you quit drinking? You quit smoking?
I got rid of women. I don't get
paid. Got rid of women. women got rid of all the expensive things in his life, right?
Were women a problem?
Oh, yeah.
Was there more than one?
Both my wives were.
I'm sorry, what?
Both his wives were.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, for me, there's no women. There's woman. I've had one.
I've had two.
That's incredible. Yeah. Well, guys, do you want to know how much?
I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I miss the other ones. But being married many years as I have, just one.
I'll admit, the second one was real good for me. She was. Yeah.
Well, guys, do you want to know how much Marilyn Monroe's dress sold over the weekend or how much Han Solo's blaster sold?
Where was this auction?
This was in Las Vegas.
Okay.
With Julian's Auction House.
Okay.
And I've got a whole bunch here from Superman's outfit to an Ewok prop to Marilyn Monroe's dress that was held by the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Foundation. So
then stick around. Greg is going to run down the cost of what they brought in for this auction when we return. Don't go anywhere. Tim, thank you, buddy. All right, big auction in Las Vegas over the weekend.
Yeah, Julian's Auction House, which, you know, they take all kinds of stuff and auction them off. They sold everything from an Ewok prop axe to a Superman 3 outfit that was worn by Christopher Reeves.
How much could a prop axe go for?
Oh, boy. I'm telling you, the prices here are pretty
incredible. I wouldn't want that. I'd throw that in the trash.
Okay. How much would you pay for an original Ewok prop axe from Star Wars?
Nothing. I wouldn't pay anything for
nothing.
That. But, I mean, I guess if you're a big fan.
What about an Imperial Scout Trooper blaster from the movie?
No, and I love those movies, but no, I wouldn't.
No. Wow. Okay, well, jeez.
I mean, it just depends. It's each their own, I guess.
That was just two of several Star Wars.
I mean, if I had money, I might take a blaster and put it in a frame or something hanging on. Maybe.
Okay, so we got a range here.
So maybe.
The blaster from the Scout Trooper from Star Wars, an Ewok prop axe from Star Wars, or... the blaster that Han Solo had from Return of the Jedi. Which do you think fetched more?
Oh, it's got to be Han Solo's blaster. All right, so of course. I mean, that's not even close.
The Blastech DL-44 blaster, one of many items sold Saturday. How much do you think that sold for? Because you're right, that did, out of the three items, that sold for the most.
Yeah, that had to go. You know, I think an Ewok axe, I don't see anybody going for that. But I think the Han Solo thing, because Harrison Ford held it, used it in the movie. Plus, his gun's sort of iconic.
Right.
Yeah. I bet that sold for a couple grand.
How much is a couple grand?
Maybe 10,000 bucks at the most. How much is... Oh, now you're looking like I'm not even in the neighborhood.
You are not even in the neighborhood.
Really? What'd it go for?
$550,000.
Oh, my God.
Somebody had $550,000.
To buy Han Solo's.
To buy Han Solo's.
It's not
blaster.
Even from the first movie. It's from the third one.
Right. Yeah, it's from Return of the Jedi.
It's from the worst of the three movies.
Oh, boy.
What did Ewok axe go for? Now I'm interested.
How much do you think? Knowing that the blaster went for $550,000.
Like I said, $10,000. I'll give the same amount that I bid for.
You're
the...
closer there. That got $11,000.
Oh, my God.
A prop axe from an Ewok.
Oh, I wouldn't give 50 cents for it.
The Imperial Scout Trooper blaster from the same movie. How much did that get?
Well, now I want to bid higher, like 50 grand, I guess. I shouldn't, but no, maybe 20,000. How about that? Am I somewhat close?
I mean, it's not six figures. Let's just put it that way.
It's higher than 20,000?
It's higher than 20,000, but it's not six figures.
85.
You're very close. $90,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You got to be kidding. Hmm. What did Marilyn Monroe's thing get? What was it?
So, you know, the Marilyn Monroe dress was part of a collection that the Lincoln Presidential, all these things, by the way, those were not part of the Lincoln Presidential Foundation. Those are just separate items that were put on the auction, at the same auction that Marilyn Monroe's dress was put up. So Monroe's dress was part of a collection that the Presidential Library Foundation purchased, the Taper Collection. It's like $20 million, right? So a lot of that was directly dealing with Lincoln, but there was a lot of other items that weren't.
And they sold the stuff that had nothing to do with Lincoln.
They're looking to offload all of the stuff that had nothing to do with Lincoln.
Because they got a big payment coming.
They've got $9 million they still owe on this loan. So they sent the dress to Julian's auction house, and they auctioned it off Saturday. How much do you think it brought in?
Boy, I hope it was a lot. A Marilyn Monroe's dress?
Yeah. Considering a blaster from Star Wars got $550,000. The Han Solo blaster.
Well, it was handled by Harrison Ford. I don't think Harrison Ford handled Marilyn Monroe. He wasn't JFK, for God's sakes. I don't know. Maybe the blaster was what, half a mil?
Yeah, Solo's blaster was half a million.
And what was this, the white dress that she wore? In that
I think this was just a dress that she had worn. It was a black wool dress.
20 grand.
Yeah. And 100% of the profits are going to go to the Presidential Library and Foundation.
20 grand.
You think 20 grand?
Yeah, for just a dress that she wore?
Little bit higher.
100 grand.
No, not quite. Cut that in half.
50.
There you go. $50,000. That's how much the black wool dress.
All right. I thought it was that white one or something, the iconic with the, you know.
Oh, I'm sure that probably would have sold for a lot more.
What else did they sell at this auction?
You've got the Superman 3 outfit.
Oh, yeah. What did that go for?
Christopher Reeves wore. No guess. How much do you think that got?
Superman's outfit? That's iconic. $250.
You are so close, dude.
Really?
You're a little over.
I'm getting better at this. 237.
It's still a little over.
214.
Keep going down.
200.
200,000. That's how much Superman's Superman's outfit worn by Superman himself.
See, now I went from underbidding. Now I'm overbidding. Yeah,
now
I'm
you're
going
like,
crazy.
Oh, yeah, I'm going over the
250.
Top.
250.
Yeah. Some Hugh Hefner stuff. Got $35,000. You've got Elvis Presley Mercedes-Benz that sold for, how much do you think, a 1970s Mercedes-Benz that Elvis Presley had? How much do you think that sold
for? And it runs?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh. 30 grand.
No, a lot more.
$187,000.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
It's almost as much as the Superman outfit.
Yeah, so a whole bunch of stuff auctioned off. But, hey, good news is Marilyn Monroe's dress sold for $50,000 and 100% of those proceeds going to the Lincoln Presidential
Foundation. Oh, good. Well, now they can pay off what they owe. What do they owe?
$9
million. Ooh.
And that comes, that bill comes due next year.
Get that sad trombone.
Yeah, no kidding. Sad trombone.
All right. 7:32 is the time. You're listening to the Ray Lytle Morning Show on News Talk 94.7 to 970 WMY.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, President Donald Trump now saying he wants to take an even harder line on illegal immigration, saying those who cross over illegally should be deported without due process. Here's ABC's chief legal analyst Dan Abrams on what rights illegal immigrants have.
They have limited rights when it comes to everything beyond due process. And then even on due process, they have less due process rights than do regular American citizens, meaning you can have an expedited hearing for an immigrant in the way that you couldn't for a citizen. They do have rights, but the courts have watered them down quite a bit.
Meanwhile, you've got boxes and boxes of donations being arrived at a rest center for asylum seekers in the border town of McAllen, Texas, soon after the country began to learn about President Donald Trump's policy of separating children from their families. A volunteer there says the center, run by Catholic Charities, is now getting so many donations that it's hard to rent additional storage space. Millions of workers across the country could have the right to work for their government without having to pay fees to a union. After a ruling expected today, the U.S. Supreme Court on the Illinois case Janice v. Asme. During oral arguments on the case in February, Justice Elena Kagan said a ruling in favor of Illinois state worker Mark Janice would likely impact the contracts of government employees across the country.
So property and contract rights, the statutes of many states, the livelihoods of millions of individuals affected all at once.
Representing Janice, William Messenger said provisions of those contracts will survive except for the forced fees. During his closing argument, Messenger said the issue is about the fees being used by unions to support increased state and local government spending.
As a whole, in the aggregate, they affect matters of public concern.
The ruling is expected to apply only to public sector employee unions, not private sector unions. Now that small businesses will have to pay local sales taxes when selling something over the internet, it may put local businesses back on a level playing field, but they and anyone else selling something online will have to navigate the nation's thousands of separate taxing bodies. Last week's Supreme Court ruling says the online resale sales must all pay sales taxes in the place they're selling to, even if they have no physical presence there. Retailers like Rob Carr with the Illinois Retail Merchants Association says this takes away the disadvantages of brick-and-mortar shops at the mercy of high local sales taxes.
When you take someone who's in Cook County, for example, at 10.25%, it puts them at a 10.25% advantage.
But Jessica Malugin with the Competitive Enterprise Institute says anyone from Amazon to Etsy, they will bear the burden of knowing what level of tax they need to withhold when they deliver a product to one of the nation's thousands of taxing districts.
Not only are there different tax rates, but there are different things taxed.
Illinois, for instance, taxes Snickers as candy, but Twix as food, since it contains flour. And the University of Illinois is seeking the dismissal of a lawsuit brought by three students claiming their free speech rights were violated. The students are part of a conservative political movement on campus who say that they were assaulted by a protester at a rally in opposition to President Trump. The university ordered the three students to have no contact with the protester, which they say inhibited their ability to report on his conduct for a conservative website. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
You are listening to the Ray Lytle Morning Show on News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. You can call us 629-7970. You can also text us, the Message Mafia text line, Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E space, and your message. Send it over to 68255. Okay, so we've got the president attacking some mom-and-pop restaurant, and we have a Supreme Court ruling. Greg, give me a little. I know that you have followed Janice v. AFSCME. I know you have followed that, and the ruling is rumored to be coming down today.
The Supreme Court has until the end of the month to release their opinions on cases that they heard this term. So they heard Janice v. AFSCME back in February.
Right.
All right.
And make no mistake about this, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I know you probably have. This is about one thing. This is about public sector unions making political contributions to the other side, whatever that side is. It's about public sector unions making political contributions, and the side that's not getting the contribution didn't like it. That's how momentum has grown in this. It made it all the way to the Supreme Court, and then the decision's going to be coming down.
The issue, according to the lawyers representing AFSCME, they say this is a First Amendment issue. Why? Because Mark Janice, a child support specialist with the state of Illinois, does not support the union's politics. And they argue that the politics includes increasing state spending for increased and enhanced benefits for public union employees. Now, the union will contend, and they contend during oral arguments, that they separate their funds, right? Because this is about the agency fee, or as the union calls it, fair share.
Yeah, but okay.
Not full dues paying.
I know, but I'm just.
But the union said.
Who's paying for Janice's lawyers? Who has been.
I think it's pro bono. You've got.
Who's been contributing?
You've got the National Right to Work Foundation that's been pushing these types of First Amendment cases for a long time. You also have the Liberty Justice Center, which is a free market.
That's what I mean. It's all politics. This whole thing is about politics.
The union will contend that they silo their political funds separate from their funds they use for negotiating. Right? They say the so-called fair share fees, or the agency fees, as they're officially called, those are used for bargaining, but. The Janice side says that bargaining entails spending tax dollars, which is in itself a political function.
Yeah, but this whole thing is being, listen, it's being funded by people that don't like the politics, and AFSCME wants to continue to make the contributions. That's the whole essence. It's all about politics.
Well, when you talk about free speech,
it's all politics. Yeah, but they want the free speech to make political contributions.
And they will, even if this ruling comes down on the side of Janice, AFSCME will still exist.
Yeah.
They'll still be able to get dues from willing members. They won't be able to force people to get dues under the color of law, which is what's happening now. They're forcing people to pay. I think the fees range, but if you work for the state in a union job, you're forced to pay $25 or something like that per check to the union. That's the agency fee.
So let me say this.
Now, if you want to be a full dues paying member, then you add on like five additional dollars.
Okay, let me ask you this. Will you not be in the union if you don't pay the fees?
You're not in the union if you pay the agency fees.
Okay.
You're just covered by the contract that the union
negotiates. For you. You will get the benefits.
Right. Sure. For working your hours.
You will get the benefits that the
for
union
working,
negotiated.
For going to work and working. Not because of the negotiations. All right. And that's something I think that listen, workers
well, who
work.
Negotiated it? If
workers,
not the union.
Workers work. There's no they have
here's
right
where,
now
here's where the contention
well they have from. They have a monopoly. The union has a monopoly as being the sole representative of employees that work for the government. This will open it up to allow for multiple groups to now, have these types of abilities.
Now's when the calls are going to come. I can tell. Sure. I can tell. Now's when the calls are going to come. Let's go and find out what our listeners think. Good morning. You are on WMAY.
How you doing, guys?
We're good. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going to happen is if they come down in favor of Janus, all those people that no longer want to pay their fair share dues, they will no longer be part of the working contract. In other words, once the contract ends, well, those people that are covered, the state can doesn't have to give them raises. The state can change their health insurance.
Or they could do merit comp raises, which the union's been totally against. Or they could go and say, you know what, we'll promote from inside without having to go follow union rules.
Yeah, but don't you think you're taking a chance on who's going to be the governor and stuff? I mean, if Rauner wins the election and Janus wins and you say, I'm leaving the union, you're probably going to get a bump in pay. If Pritzker wins...
I don't know. I mean, you'll get a bump in pay because you won't have to pay agency fees. That'll be the bump in pay.
It's all about politics. I agree with that. Yeah. Good morning. You're on WMAY.
Ray, are we still playing cheap or frugal? Because right now, Bishop's being cheap. he just wants to freeload.
No, how's that freeload? How is working 40 hours a week freeloading?
Greg's not a union member.
How is working 40 hours a week freeloading?
I will say this. If you're not paying legal fees, if you're not paying union fees, but you're getting the benefit of a contract that the union negotiated, you are sort of freeloading.
I don't see that at all. I see that as somebody going to work, working their 40 hours a week.
Hey, don't apply there then. When you apply there, it says the state.
So an individual that wants to work for their government, that wants to be a public servant, should not go and do that job because, well, it's a union job. Dang it.
Well, that's
all the benefits have come from.
That seems very, very one-sided, very marginalistic.
That's a choice you make. You can either work there or you don't.
You can either go and provide your services and your talents to help the people of Illinois.
You're being cheap and a freeloader, Bishop. That's all you are.
Thank you, my friend.
I don't freeloader. I don't have a state government job. I'm not a union member.
Good morning. And
those who do work for the state that want to work for the state and not be part of a union, they're not freeloaders because they're still doing their 40 hours a week.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm a union member.
Yes.
I pay extra. Matter of fact, I pay a little bit more than the normal. You got your fair share and your normal dues members, and then you can pay an extra on top of that. And I pay the extra. And the reason I do this, a lot of people don't understand how this all operates. It also protects you, that employee, that, say, a correctional officer, this is good. They get put on suspension all the time. A lot of us get put on suspension. I'm not a correctional officer, but we do get put on suspension for littlest things, and it comes to find out, then we win our grievances. The union hires those attorneys to help us. And if the reason a lot of the merit comp stuff is, you know, my girlfriend is a merit comp. She went 5 years without a raise.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. See, a lot of people think, oh, merit comp's really good. Not necessarily. And it's on a scale system. Your coworker may get $100 more. You may only get $5 more. But you may be doing the same work. Hmm. It's determined by the supervisor.
If this ruling comes down, does this mean people can go to the state and say, I'll work for $10 an hour?
Well, no. The union, it's set up in the contract. And the worst part is right now, we still haven't gotten paid for the back wages.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason why. It's because there's no money.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, we can talk about, well, the contract says raise this, raise that, raise this. There's no money. And that's part of this argument as well. Mark Janus has said that he knows that the state can't afford another tax increase. The state can't afford all these raises.
And he's concerned over that.
And he's concerned, yeah.
Yes, he's worried about the state. That's why he's suing.
I think every taxpayer is worried about the state. You look at our finances, I'm just saying
the whole thing's about politics.
And spending tax dollars is politics.
It's all
That's
about
the argument.
Politics.
That's the argument on the side
because
of Janus.
Because the people picking up the cost for his defense have a clear agenda.
What defense? I don't know of him being involved in any grievances or anything.
Well,
like
I'm sorry. The people that are providing his lawyers.
Listen, if you want a lawyer, go get a retainer. If you want a lawyer, go get a retainer.
Yeah,
but pay a labor lawyer directly.
And he didn't have to. This is what I'm saying. It's clear.
This was
what the political agenda
is. This was a grievance against the union.
Yes,
not against the employer.
I know. He's not paying for his lawyers out of his pocket. It's picked up by people who have a clear agenda, and the union's lawyers have a clear agenda.
And that's to increase state spending for wages and benefits.
They want to make their political contributions. And the people paying for Janus's side, they don't want them to make political contributions.
That is the union's contention, that this is just big money business trying to weaken collective bargaining unions.
People want the union out of the political contribution business.
Unions will still be able to contribute politically after this ruling comes down. If it comes down on the side of Janus, unions will still exist. You can willingly join a union and pay all you want to a union if you want. This ruling would essentially say you're not forced.
If Janus wins, can people come off the street and go to the state and say, hey, I work for $10 an hour?
If there's an opening and they go through the proper application process, I mean, I don't know the hypotheticals, and every job's going to be different.
And don't you think the union or that the state would be smart to hire the cheaper people than the full package people?
I think it would be smart to hire qualified people.
So don't you think that would hurt the union?
I don't know what would hurt the union. I think that if the union can prove...
I
think if the union can prove to an employee that they are worth it, then the employee will more than willingly give over that money. If the union cannot prove to an employee that they're worth handing over $50 a month to for this agency fee, then, you know what, that's on the union. If they can't prove
their... But if you take away the one thing that people join the union for, which is... they've negotiated a really good salary that I'm going to get. That's going to be taken away if Janus wins this case.
Really good salaries are going to be taken away?
No, the union got them the salary.
The pension benefits that are 3% compounding right now, that's going to be taken away?
I'm saying that the union did the work for that, and if people aren't paying the union...
Do you think they're going to continue doing that more than eight years ago, because they're still working outside of a contract.
Good morning, you're on WBY.
Yeah, you know, the thing a lot of people forget or don't know about the Janus case is when it was originally, before it got all the way to the Supreme Court, it was Rauner. He was the one who brought the original case.
Yeah, and he was found to have no standing.
He paid for the lawyers.
He filed for it. He was found to have no standing, and then Mark Janus was there.
Right, exactly. And to me, from my perspective, that does show kind of what Ray's saying, is it does inject a little bit of a political.
You sound brilliant.
But this is
a brilliant caller.
Echo. You're essentially saying that this is a one-off case. There was a case before this out of California that had a teacher suing the teachers' union.
This is the core of Rauner's existence.
Exactly, Ray. That's what I'm saying. Rauner, there's no question about that. And the Supreme Court's going to decide.
Lose.
They decided to see it. You know, they decided it has value. That's fine. But I'm just saying, I feel like that's the core motivation behind this.
They were tied on a similar case last year because Justice Scalia died. If Justice Scalia was alive, it would have gone that way, and it would have been a California case instead of an Illinois case.
If he loses the governorship, it will be less hurtful than if he loses this Supreme Court case.
I agree.
Thank you for the call.
This is a huge case.
That's what I mean.
It's a massive case.
That people of Rauner's ilk really believe in this. That's why they have paid for the lawyers.
I think there's Democrats out there too, right?
And people
who don't think the union is worth it anymore. And they don't want to. Here's the problem, too, that's possibly going to happen is you're going to have people who do want to opt out of the union being singled out at work, being bullied at work. I'm already seeing anecdotes online of people saying, well, AFSCME showed up to my door with a really hard sale. And they were like, you need to join now. Why aren't you joining now? You need to become a full dues-paying member now. If not, we're going to out you to all of your fellow employees. That's a hostile work environment. That's frightening that that's even
Well, I think it's up to the individual whether they feel it's a hostile work environment. It's not for us to say.
I don't know about that.
I mean, I don't know what a hostile work environment is for, you know.
I think it's pretty easy to determine what a hostile work environment is.
But we don't know. The person that's having hostility, it's tough for them to make the decision. That would be like me deciding you're being sexually harassed. I don't know. I'm not living in, you know what I mean? We can't make that determination for people. Good morning, you're on MBY.
You know, if you look back when, I think it might have been the 80s, you used to be able to join the union or choose not to do fair share, mm-hmm. and the union went to court. I think there was, I don't know, 30 or 40% of the union employees, if I remember correctly, did not pay into the union, and the union, you know,
They got the law changed, essentially. They got Illinois to
and
go along with...
And that was saying that the people were getting the benefits, you got to pay to get them, blah, blah, blah.
They got the state to go along with the union being the sole negotiator, the sole representative for state employees.
Correct. But then I think you need to also look at what the union spends the money on that they're receiving. I mean, that's quite a bit of money that they're raking in every employee. A union employee, I mean, they give $25 gift cards. If y'all talk to somebody at work about joining the union, they're passing out money and gift cards, and the printing fees.
I've seen the breakdown of their printing fees and their advertising fees, and it's.
But the money that they care about is the money that they use for campaign contributions.
Well, I care about that. I don't think that.
That's the money that Janice Case cares about.
But those campaign contributions aren't part of the fair share contributions that's at the center of this.
That's what the center of this is, the campaign contributions.
But it's not. The center of this is the agency fee that the union says they use for
negotiating. And the fact that if people don't pay the money, then they won't have any money for contributions. It's a huge part of this. Good morning. Hey, last caller. We're up against time. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, if Janice didn't want to be in the union, you know what? He needs to give his $17,000 back in union raises. All you have to do is send him a letter saying you don't want to pay your dues and they'll give you your money back. But no, he wants to make a bigger case and kiss Ronner's butt. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. He'll hang up. He's hanging up and listening, Craig.
I'm going to be fascinated what the outcome is going to be.
Do we know what time this will come down?
It'll be about 9:30 when we know.
Oh, right when we're off the air.
Maybe we'll revisit it tomorrow. And
yeah, we'll have to.
But
Jim will get it first.
Let people hear the...
God forbid we get something before Jim Leach. All right, we'll take a break. It's 8:28. You're listening to the Ray Lytle Morning Show on News Talk 94.7 to 970 WMR. I love when the union members call. I love whenever I get Greg going on union stuff and the union members
I don't know how you can call somebody a freeloader for working 40 hours a week. I mean, I just don't get how you can call somebody a freeloader.
I love
for working 40 hours a week.
I love it when they get you going.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app. Free for iOS and Android.